to White Rabbit Podcast with Catalyst Jones, where your reality might be challenged. So leave your feelings at the fucking door, and let's dive down some rabbit holes.
Liberal advisory. Truthful content.
Welcome. Conspiracy junkies, in a world where independent thought has become a rarity, and the majority seem entrapped in a programmed existence, corporate entities led by shadow elites have become hungry for control. We are living in a time where genuine truths are often met with ridicule and dismissed as outlandish conspiracy theories. Those who dare to challenge their malevolent agenda are systematically silenced. However, amidst this pervasive mass delusion, there emerges a courageous figure who is willing to stake his life to defy these reptilian overlords and unveil the concealed realities. That individual is Catalyst Jones. So fasten your seatbelts as we embark on a journey that will take us through the rabbit holes of hidden truths and uncomfortable discoveries. I give you the White Rabbit Podcast.
Welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones, back in the seat again. It feels good to be back, and it feels good to be bringing the guests that I have lined up for you guys. And this one is no different. I mean, when I first brought her on the very first time, I felt like I was introducing her to my audience. Now, I feel like she could introduce me to her audience because she is blown the fuck up. Sam Tripley calls her the conspiracy smoke show, and I can't think of anybody that disagrees. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Julia from the Cosmic Beach, what the fuck is up?
What the fuck is up? I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me.
Girl, it is
long overdue.
It is. I was just about to say that. It has been so long since you and I have actually spoken. And it's not like I feel like you're still like my bestie because I listen to you all the time. And I must say, the new series you got going with the Cult of Conspiracy is straight fire. Ah,
thank you. Yeah. So when they asked me to do kind of like an exclusive show just for the cult, I was nervous because I have so many thoughts that go through my mind like on a daily basis of things that I would like to cover, but I'm never sure if people are ready to hear them because they are kind of like the heavier subjects, you know, anything to do with kids or something like that. It's hard for people to want to listen to on a regular basis, but thank God it's been successful so far. And so I have the pedofocracy and Uncle Sam Wants Your Kids. And I just started the third new series called Program to Kill. So I'm just really, really excited to get this information out because I've been researching it for a while, but just didn't know if people were ready for it yet.
I think that people are hungry for it because we've been gaslit so much, and we've just been walking around with blinders on, and you know, people are basically babying us to what the truth is. And now that there's this great awakening going on, people are like, "Nah, just fucking give it to me straight. I can take it." Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Reptiles are raping children. Fuck. All right, what are we gonna do about it?
Yeah. And so I saw that you did an episode on the Finders.
Yes, with Thomas Paranoid American. So it actually, a lot of the things that you were speaking on in your Cult of Conspiracy series touches on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's just like people hear sometimes like a little tail end of a conspiracy. You know, you'll hear these the Finders Club or like Michael Aquino, like you hear these names, but you're not really sure how they fit into the greater, grander puzzle. And so I'm trying to like connect the dots for people on those things because before I started diving into this research, I had come across Michael Aquino in only one other conspiracy theory, and that was the Zodiac Killer. Actually, a lot of people thought that the Zodiac killings could be contributed to Michael Aquino, and there was a lot of evidence to suggest that he could be the Zodiac Killer. And so I thought that was the big conspiracy. Then you get started looking into like the Franklin scandal and like all these other things, and you realize, oh, he's involved in just like not more than just one conspiracy. Like he's got his hand in everybody's spot. Like, it's crazy.
Do you think that the Zodiac Killer was another CIA experiment, like just a MK Ultra, you know, type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Especially since he was never caught. And there are so many theories as to who that person may be. And I even did this whole episode on it. And I had everyone pick a different suspect, because there's all these theories, right? Oh, well, there's evidence that it's this person, blah, blah, blah. And I had like me and my sister and my cousins all pick one, research them, and prove to me why they think that their suspect is the killer. And it was a really cool episode. It was definitely not brought up till the end, though, that it could have been Michael Aquino. And now I'm more convinced than ever that it probably was, especially since it went down in like, what, the 70s?
Yes.
And that's when all like the shit was breaking loose.
Right, because they were doing a lot of those MK Ultra experiments out of the Bay Area in the late 60s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the right timeline and the right location. So,
and like they call Michael Aquino the Colonel. These kids, these abused kids that came out to talk about their abuse, they said that they were meant to call him the Colonel. Paul Benassi also said that he had to call him the Colonel. And at every single Zodiac Killer crime scene, there were these military boots that they said, well, the suspect has to have something to do with military, because they found these size 9 wing walker boots that were special edition, like military fucking style boots. And so that they put those two pieces together, like, well, it would have to be someone involved in the military because of the boots. Also, he's described as being clean cut. And like all these other things. So when you really start to think about it, Michael Aquino literally matches all of those descriptions.
If I was representing him, though, I would point out the fact that in California, there is so many army surplus stores and anybody can get those boots.
Well, you know what? Fuck you, because it has to be him because I said so.
Well, okay, I'll give that to you because you are Julia, so we can't.
Yeah. If I say it, then it has to be true, right? No. I mean, there's a ton of room for me to be wrong about a lot of stuff, and I'm sure people have pointed out in a million ways how wrong I am about certain things or things that they think that I'm wrong about. But at the end of the day, I think people should be more empowered to do their own research on stuff like this. I mean, really, honestly, truly, a lot of the things that I like to research, I do my own research into, kind of like the Wizard of Oz that we were talking about before. That was me. That came off my cuff. I didn't read a book on it. That was my speculations and my theories. And so a lot of people said that it was a retarded episode, that, oh my God, you're stretching, you're splitting hairs, you're doing this. I'm like, well, feel free to do your own analysis on it. Like, this
people
is
people actually said that, you know.
Yeah, like they were like, oh my God, like you're really looking so far into this, and like you're splitting hairs, you're grasping at straws. I'm like,
you
okay.
What's crazy is that was 3 years ago, I believe, and you were still a baby back then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to this day, that is still one of my favorite episodes, not just from Julia, like one of my favorite episodes, because the research wasn't just piggybacking off of other people that you hear regurgitated everywhere. It was something new and fresh. And I loved it. And still to this day, I think back on that episode is like, damn, I got to have her come on and do a Wizard of Oz drop. So,
well, I would be happy to even touch on it in today's episode or anything that you want to talk about, because I'm trying to get myself, like, I have a lot of life changes and things going on. But one thing I want to remain constant in my life is my research and my show and everything. And I did a podcast with Davey recently because he wanted to talk about Stanley Kubrick. I don't know if he's even released the episode yet, but I kept bringing up all these Wizard of Oz references in Stanley Kubrick's movies because they're there in abundance, especially in Eyes Wide Shut, which I mentioned so frequently in the Wizard of Oz episode. And I see Wizard of Oz references everywhere I look. And I haven't watched the new Beetlejuice movie yet. I don't know if you have, like the new one that just came out. But I found even some Wizard of Oz references in the first Beetlejuice movie.
Do you think, I've heard people bring in the Wizard of Oz as one of the tales of the Bible, and it's been so long since I heard that breakdown, but it did kind of make sense to me. And I feel like Hollywood does that a lot, as they just regurgitate tales from the Bible in and put their own little like spin on it, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you think that that has anything to do with predictive programming and maybe them telling the story of where they come from and what they want us to be type of a thing? I don't know. I get so caught up in these movies that science fiction to me now should be labeled as documentaries.
Yeah, literally. Like a lot of these, the movie Splice, where they take like a part of a human and part of like a bird and part of a fucking cactus or whatever they do, and they splice it all together and they make this little chimera being and they raise it as a child and shit. When that movie came out, I watched it with my mom and I was like, that is so fucking crazy. Now when I watch it, I'm like, they've already probably done this a million times over. Like no science fiction movie to me is outside the realm of possibility. It's all becoming reality, actually. And Wizard of Oz, I almost feel like has this occult-esque vibe about it. You know how they say when they transcend or whatever and they see all these colors, it's almost like tripping. And fucking Travis Scott, like the Goosebumps song, you know, you basically get yourself to the point of almost dying and then you're able to see the beyond or whatever, and then you come back. It's almost like an autoerotic asphyxiation or something like that. In the way that they took the beginning part of the Wizard of Oz, black and white, mundane life, little Kansas girl living on a farm, and when she goes through this transformative experience, then everything's like bursting off the screen in Technicolor, and like there's magic and all these things, witches, and it's almost like, I don't know. Oh, fuck me. My ring light, my good ring light, is in a storage unit. So I'm using this little one and it has a fucking timer on it and keeps going off. But yeah, so I think about it that way. Also, a lot of people who are into like mediumship and like psychics, they talk about how when someone dies, that it looks like the colors look like Technicolor, like the Wizard of Oz, and they use the Wizard of Oz as a reference, like it's the beyond or whatever. And my sister actually had like either a psychic or a medium or something, and like they said that, you know, my mom was there and she was describing where she was at, that it looked like the Wizard of Oz, which is a very specific reference, just because like me and my sister love that movie so much. But it is interesting to me that they have this whole kind of like afterlife-y aspect to the movie. But I don't know, I could be wrong about that. There's so much going on in that movie that it's kind of crazy.
What made you want to dive into that movie? And also, you said that I just did a show about The Finders. That was with Thomas, the Paranoid American comic mm-hmm. book maker. And he said I should be getting it this week because I pre-ordered it. He put out a comic series. It's called it's something to do with NASA, but it's all about Stanley Kubrick. And yeah. And so I'm super excited to get it. It's like this mm-hmm. whole packet of stuff that's just Stanley Kubrick. It's like I was thinking I should have one sent to you as a gift, because you would probably freaking love it.
I probably put it in a frame somewhere. I love that stuff so much. I love The Shining. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Ton of Wizard of Oz references in it. I think the most significant one where people said that I was grasping at straws, and again, take it for what it's worth. Do you remember I said in that episode that clearly Danny has been a victim of some type of childhood trauma because he has Tony, the little boy that lives in his mouth, and fucking he blacks out. The other personality takes over. So he's got like a split personality thing going on. And in his room, there are all these lions and tigers and bears, kind of Wizard of Oz reference, in rainbows. And rainbows are, you know, symbolic of many things, but also Wizard of Oz. And I thought it was interesting that the little boy that lived in his mouth's name was Tony. And I was like, Tony the tiger, literally, because it shows two or three scenes where he's eating Frosted Flakes specifically. And like when they go touring The Shining and they stop in like the dry food supply, there is a scene where it like zooms in on Jack Nicholson and the caretaker guy. And there's a box of like Frosted Flakes right behind them. And, you know, it just is the imagery that, you know, sometimes I don't think things are accidentally put in there.
They're never accidentally put in there because there's so many people that go through each scene with a fine tooth comb. That's why they take so many cuts of each scene. Because every little thing is so important to the people that are putting up the money for these things to be made.
What do you think about Clockwork Orange?
It has been so long since I've seen that movie, and I think that I only loved that movie because it was the cool punk rock thing to do to love that movie when I was in high school. You were like, kid, if you love that movie. I just remember them like drinking drugs through milk out of nipples and statues and like and beating the
getting there, getting Alex with his eyes all open like that.
Yeah, I don't remember much of the movie, just little snippets and scenes like that. And of course, because it's like the moments that everybody reposts on the internet. So you can't forget about them, you know?
I think to some degree, though, and I mentioned this in an upcoming episode for the Program to Kill series. I'm not sure when this episode is going to come out, but it might be before or after I've said this on that show, but I compared my current situation to like a basic budget type form of MK Ultra because, and we can just talk about this for a second. If you have been in a shitty relationship, even going back to your parents, let's say you've been in a couple of shitty relationships, it's like a budget form of MK Ultra because you leave out of the relationship with all these fucking weird issues that you didn't have when you came into the relationship. And it's like if someone can wear you down enough, or like if someone can say the same things to you over and over again, you start believing weird shit about yourself that you didn't ever think before. And like people think that you have to get Clockwork Oranged or like go through one of these concentration camp ass fucking like mind control ass programs to have some shit like that happen to you, and you don't. It's like so easy to program someone's mind. If you have a streaming platform with commercials, whether it be Hulu or Amazon or whatever, just that little subliminal programming, like in between, like your shows or movies, I start craving food that I haven't craved in fucking years by watching Hulu commercials. So if being in shitty relationships or having Hulu commercials can alter your internal dialogue or your behaviors, imagine what going through one of these government ass type of fucking concentration camp ass Clockwork Orange ass programs can do to someone's mind. It's literally so easy to reprogram someone.
Oh, absolutely, because that is their 100% intention with these programs. And me and my buddy, my best friend ever since we were like in sixth grade, we're still best friends to this day. Both of us went through a relationship around the time, at the same time, where we were with a narcissistic woman. And we both were isolated from our friends and family. We both quit doing the things that we love doing and forgot who we were. I was able to overcome that by being celibate for over a year and then not dating for two. And he's still going through that. And it was able to make us forget who we were as people and our self-worth and everything. And if somebody can do that just by being a narcissist and not intentionally have those intentions, they just, that's how they're programmed. If they can do that to you, just imagine what the government with all the funding they have, and that is their intention, can do to somebody.
Yeah, because they think if they can wear you down enough, if they can repeat the same things to you enough, if they can get you tired enough, you will comply, you will agree, you will bend over, you will take a jab in the asshole. There are so many commercials right now on Hulu about vaccines. Every other commercial on Hulu is this old grandma, and she's got a little fucking handmade fucking sweater on, and she's going down to the Walgreens, and she's picking up some Cheez-Its and some fucking poise pads, and she's getting upward of 10 jabs a piece in each arm, and she's got her little fucking band-aids on, and they're like, Walgreens, because we care. And I'm like, dude.
Because what we care about our master satanic agenda.
You know, but they think like we do this because we love you, right? That's the thing. In shitty relationships, and just like with all this propaganda shit, they're doing it because they love us, you know? And it's behind this guise of like, we care about you so much that you need to send your kids to fucking McMartin preschool fucking sodomy center. Because we love your kids so much and we love your meemaw so much that you should get fucking jabs in your eyeballs, in your fucking nipples, wherever they can get you, they will stick a fucking jab into it. Like, that is wild to me. But that's the world we're living in, because as we were kind of talking about before we even started recording with my situation, and I'm getting divorced or whatever, and a lot of the people who follow my show already know that, but I feel like I'm not old, I know, but the last 7 years of my life, I was with someone who made me feel a certain way about myself. And now I'm having to relearn all these things that I knew coming into the relationship. Like, I knew what kind of person I was. I knew that I was a badass motherfucker. I was a super confident person. I made no apologies. And then I almost felt like by the end of this, that he had convinced me I was some kind of like insufferable human being. And like, I almost felt like I needed to apologize to people for having to even be around me. And that was only a 7-year relationship. And now at 30 years old, I'm having to like reprogram my mind and like remember who I am. So imagine like your grandparents and your great grandparents, like they have been through all of the things. They have seen so much shit. I can't even imagine, you know, when they rolled the TV out, that we're all fucking toast at that point. We were all fucking toast, and our entire existence has been controlled by them in some degree since.
Yes. Broadcasting, mm-hmm. Tell a vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the first rollout of media's way to really grab the attention, because they had newspapers and shit before that, and people were obsessed with reading newspapers and everything, as far as I can gather, you know, from his story that we're told and through watching old westerns and shit like that. But when they rolled out the TV, that they're able to hypnotize people, and that was a whole new form. And not only that, but through telling stories and to subliminally add messaging into their, like, that is their greatest tool right now. And I think that they felt like the internet was going to be their greatest tool, but like Sam Tripoli says, I think it got away from them, and it's like being used against them right now, because otherwise you and I wouldn't be having this conversation. We would still be asleep at the wheel watching fucking Unsolved Mysteries. You know, not that it's a bad show. Not that that's a bad show.
My sister loves Unsolved Mysteries. That's so funny you brought that up. But so like, that's why I'm so obsessed with film too, because I feel like it was used in a way to program people, obviously, but I also see all these little clues of all these artists and directors and you name it. Like, they were trying to give us like these little subtle clues, like wake up because this is what's really going on. Or like those who know what to look for knew what certain things meant. And that's one of the reasons I love Kubrick so much. And that's one of the reasons why I love looking at old movies like The Wizard of Oz and seeing what they were putting in there, because it's all very purposeful. And
sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you think that we were programmed to be the people that were able to look at these things and think the way that we're thinking right now and talk about the things that we're talking about? Do you think that we picked up on these things and it was in there for people like us to be programmed this way? Or do you think that we're just different beings that could see through the bullshit and picked up on things?
I've noticed that conspiracy theorists are not usually the most well-off individuals. Like, please don't take me wrong. If you are a well-off individual and you're a conspiracy theorist, then, I mean, great for you. But usually people who have struggled in their life and have seen the bullshit since they were kids, they're usually the most alert, observant people on the planet. So, I mean, I don't know if you know much about like my childhood and everything. I talked to Janet about it once on her show, but I feel like since I was a kid, I've kind of realized that there has to be more to this existence than just what is presented to us. Like, people who've struggled as a kid and like had to find their own way and fight their own battles throughout life usually end up being like spiritual warriors as adults. And that's just kind of how it is. I don't think people who are ultra privileged are like these trust fund kids and like we make fun of them all the time because they're usually the ones pulling all the strings and shit. Yeah, like that's who they were meant to be, because that's them. That's their family. That was their parents, their grandparents, whatever. But like for normal, average, everyday human beings who have to struggle for everything that they have, we absolutely know that this is a fucking setup and it is not set up in our favor. And who the fuck is doing this to us? We have been slighted. And when there are all these injustices, especially to people in the middle class, you absolutely become a conspiracy theorist because you're like, what the fuck is going on? How come, like, why are we not railing against these certain things? This is bizarre, high strangeness. Fuck this life.
Head on over to charismictruestore.com. Be sure to enter that promo code KJones10 and receive your 10% off.
Clothes that fit your vibe, medallions shining bright. Stand for what you believe, join the truth tonight. charismictruestore.com. Speaker of the truth, so calm. Promo code KJones10. Get your gear again and again.
Yeah. You heard that right, conspiracy junkies. If you head on over to charismictruestore.com and enter that promo code KJones10, you'll receive 10% off. 10% off. And all their designs are top notch. How do I know? Because I helped design some of them. This is one of my favorite web stores to go to. And now, back to the show.
You're muted. I'm so serious. I cannot hear.
All right.
Okay, I hear you now.
I'm back. StreamYard booted my Rodecaster for some reason. And then right before that, both of our screens went blank. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? All right, StreamYard, you're fired. You don't get paid this month.
They know that it's because we were saying something very important. So they decided to cut everyone's shit off.
Right. I mean, I'm White Rabbit. We're always saying something very important, right? Well, now that we have Julia on here, it's extra important. But shit, man, that was fucked up. So let's go ahead and change courses right here, because we're talking about a lot of dark things, and doing what you and I do, we do look into the abyss quite a bit. We look into dark things that most people can't stomach, like looking at for 2 seconds. We're fully engulfed in. What do you do to kind of like wash yourself free of that and ground yourself so that you don't fully get sucked in and go fucking insane?
That's a really good question, because I would love to say like I'm able to separate the things that I research from my everyday life, but I can't, because even pulling through Taco Bell when they're like, do you want to round up to save the dolphins or whatever? I'm like, no, so you can fucking funnel money into some fucking pedo ring, you fucking assholes. So like, no, I can't separate it. Like, I'm always thinking about it. It's always on my mind. And especially the stuff about the kids, because I've said in my show before that if anyone were to ever do anything to the kids in my life that I love so much, like, I'd slash the balls and the clits off of every single... I mean, I'm so serious. I'm very, very passionate about the stuff that I research. And I, you know, obviously I'm a Christian, and some things you just have to pray about and you're like, God, why is this the world that we live in? And it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. That's how most conspiracy theorists are born, because they look at all these injustices in life and they're like, there has to be something fucking more than this existence. You know, this is horrible. This is dog shit. Like, who is doing this? And so I read all these books. And, you know, people are busy. People have lives. They don't have time to sit down and read all these books and stuff that I do. And I try to take the information that I'm learning and present it in a way that's like digestible for everyone. And I feel like my passion for people learning about these topics and waking up to these certain realities overcomes my disgust with it. Because at some points, like even reading some of this shit and then hearing it coming out of my own mouth as I'm recording, you do it, it's stomach turning. Like, it's horrible. And especially to do with like infants, kids under the age of 7, like it's can fuck with you heavy. And so I feel like I try to justify my, like, if someone were to ask me, well, why do you even talk about that stuff? I would just say, because it's really important, and it's more important than me. And it's more important than me being grossed out talking about it. And it's more important than me being embarrassed to bring it up. Or it's more important than my, you know...
And it happens because people aren't talking about it, and people, because people continue to turn a blind eye to certain things, then things will continue to happen, you know, and the topic that you're speaking on right now, you know, that what really hurt me the most was people that I used to look up to being involved in these things. And, you know, you look up to these people as good, wholesome people. And I like to give Tom Hanks as the like prime example, because, you know, like Forrest Gump and Big, like Apollo 13, like
the all Burbs, these Money Pit. Like, Money Pit, I grew amazing. Up watching those right? movies on repeat.
And so you look up to these people and you think that they're like these good, wholesome people that you should emulate and try to become. And then you find out, oh, actually they're like diddling kids and torturing people and attending spirit cooking parties. And, you know, I'm hoping to get Richie the Barber on here pretty soon, because he is a born again Christian recently. And he used to attend all those Hollywood parties and talks about how he witnessed them actually eating people. And I'm like, so this is not just something the community of conspiracy theorists are like throwing around. This is something that actually fucking takes place. And like, it is so hard to wrap your head around. Could you imagine being at a party and thinking that, like, oh my God, I fucking made it. Like, looking over and like, there's so-and-so, or, you know, like, and then you like fucking open up the wrong door, as Cat Williams says, but you see like a fucking person on a table and there's like your favorite rapper looks over at you while he's eating them or taking it in the ass. You know, P. Diddy, the diddler, was funny. Mm-hmm. It's funny. My dad was like, man, P. Diddy sure did find himself in a lot of trouble here recently, huh? And I was like, yeah, you know what's funny, Dad, is I did a show on it 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Like, isn't that wild?
Yeah. And so, they're just catching up.
That's why I say, like, I will sacrifice my ego and my, like, the truth is more important than all of that stuff. And I don't care that people attack me and be like, oh my God, like, there's no way that stuff is true, or that's so crazy, or like, you always talk about the most bizarre stuff, or like whatever it is that they have to say to me about any given subject. But like the pedophocracy in particular, and I talked about like the McMartin preschool, and like upward of 600 kids were saying that they were getting touched by people, they were getting drugged, they were getting sodomized, they were getting taken to underground tunnels under the school, they were talking about satanic rituals, all this stuff. One of the kids' moms that was going to testify, fucking, they killed her. Fucking, she ended up dead somewhere and they found her corpse. Like, this is really reality, and it's more important than like me not wanting to hear shit talking from people, because you know they love to do it. They'll send you messages on Instagram and they'll be like, yeah, I was listening to your show and it's just you know, and they'll like say whatever little shit talking thing that they want to say. But the truth is that this is real. This really happened. Anyone can Google about the McMartin preschool trial. And, you know, I don't care to be crucified by people who aren't ready to hear it, because there are a lot of people who are ready to hear it and people need to know. And also, if they think that it stopped in the 90s or the 80s or whenever, it hasn't. It's still going on. Like 10 years from now, we're going to be hearing about some fucking preschool in California where they were taking fucking kids underground. And there's going to be some other cosmic peach that's fucking got a podcast talking about it. And like, this doesn't end. Like, this is real shit. Like, somebody needs to be saying it.
Well, what do you think about everybody's, not everybody's, half of this country's savior, Donald Trump, about how he said that he won't rest until he's eradicated every human trafficker from the planet?
Is he doing it? Is he going out and doing it himself? Or like, what is his plan to do? Like, I don't know, because the guy who helped him get into power, quote unquote, like, so to speak, was a gay pedophile.
Roger,
you remember Stone? No, it was some guy named Roy. Oh, fucking shit. His name was Roy. Why am I forgetting his last name? Hang on.
Because you're recording a podcast right now.
Roy, the last name is C-O-H-N. Cone?
Okay.
Literally, so, this guy helped Donald Trump get to where he was.
Besties, I think it's pronounced with the con. Guy.
Con? Like as in con man?
Yeah. How fitting.
So he was a gay pedophile that got all these other gay people removed from office because he was like, it's so despicable, blah, blah, blah. It was called like the Violet scandal or something like that. And then it turned out this whole time that he was getting gay people removed from their positions in office. He was gay and he was touching kids. So this is Donald Trump's bestie. Anybody can Google this shit. Okay. They were close. They were tight. And it makes you wonder. And then there's all these pictures of Donald Trump like hanging out with Epstein. Don't get me started on that. There is photographic evidence. And so what am I supposed to think? He's like, all this human trafficking and da 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 da. I'm like, okay, well, what you will, explain to me, like, at what point you all of a sudden got a hard on for this project? Because was it when you were hanging out with Roy? Was it when you were hanging out with Epstein? Like, when did you suddenly care about this? Because it goes along with the conservative mindset, or what?
That's exactly why, probably, because you know what he's throwing in. And I don't really want to talk about politics because I fucking get enough of that shit from another show that I produce. But, you know, he's trying to throw Kamala under the bus for not for having 4 years to do something. And he had 4 years to at least make a dent in some of this human trafficking shit. And, you know, I see people like Natalie Denise out there putting more effort and a dent into human trafficking than somebody of Donald Trump's stature.
I mean, literally. That's why I'm so disillusioned with it. I don't even get into politics anymore on my show, or ever really, because of this. Like, people are so quick to like jump on this whole savior complex thing. Like, this, oh, he's our savior because of XYZ. Nah. Okay. There is a whole movie going on right now, and you are one of the people that stops into the coffee shop and blows their nose in the background. You are not part of the movie. You're an extra, okay? This isn't happening for you. It's happening to you. And that's why, and it's, oh, well, you better get out there and cast your vote. I'll wipe my ass with my vote, because that's what they're going to do with it anyways. There is no, especially like, everybody wanted to get so upset about election fraud, this and that, and Sleepy Joe and all that. Well, fucking, why didn't you get out there and vote? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because it's worthless. It means nothing. Because they're going to put in who they're going to put in. And this is happening to us, not for us.
Right. Well, before you and I had met each other, I was totally on the Trump train. I mean, I was doing shows very politic based, QAnon was my go-to, you know, and then I jumped off of the Trump train. And I just, ever since I jumped, you know, what made me jump off the Trump train was having on New York Patriot and him talking about, Quetzalcoatl or whatever. I'm probably saying it wrong. The order of
Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl.
Yes. And then he dove into all that shit, you know, and then I heard Amy says, what the fuck, on Black Pill Radio. And she totally went into the lineage and Donald Trump's just whole life. And, you know, just the fact that, I mean, he's a Zionist. His kids went to Jesuit schools. Like, he's fully in the club. You know, people on board with Q used to talk about how, like, he's the only rich man that they don't let in the club. Like, look, he tried to get an NFL team and they won't let him and blah, blah, blah. Motherfucker, I'm going to Vegas in 2 days to go to a Raider game. And I'm on my way to that game. I'm going to drive by a huge fucking gold building that says Trump on it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the motherfucker is in the club. Like, he became president, and I don't give a fuck how much you shock the world with your vote. I don't care. Presidents are selected, not elected. And he was put in so that they can use him in the media as a bad guy and say all the right things to think people that can think for themselves, so that they can completely split this country in half and use him as the sword that divides this country. And man, they did a great job.
They did a really good job. I mean, it's working, right? And that's why I always say, like, I am not a political person, because I just don't think that it matters what we like do. They're going to fucking put in the person that they want to put in. He is part of the club, whether people want to admit that or not. And like the whole assassination thing, give me a break. If that person wanted him dead, it would have been more than just a chunk of his earlobe that was missing.
Oh, there's three now, Julia. There was one a few days ago, And then there was another one yesterday. There, one 3 days ago, somebody was waiting for him on the golf course, which is totally crazy because he wasn't planning on golfing that day. And this guy was waiting for 12 hours. So that means somebody in Trump's entourage was like, hey, you know, we got a few hours. There's a golf course nearby, you know? Mm-hmm. And then apparently there was one that happened yesterday that I haven't heard about yet. I don't have to dive into these things. That's what my roommate's show is about. So I don't look into these things. I just hear it when I'm producing his shit. And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. damn, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Has he talked about the people in Springfield with the cats and the eating the cat sashimi style and the fucking dogs and the pet? They're plucking the swans out of the ponds. They're fucking eating the duck's ass.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that's fucking hilarious because that's been happening in every Chinatown across America forever.
Dude, you know? Cat chicken. I have said that for so long that even some of the chicken you can get at Walmart and shit, that's cat chicken. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I have this thing, you know, where you can like, you eat something and you instantly discern that it's not good for your body. Oh, yeah. I have always been like that about chicken. I fucking hate chicken. And like the other day, not the other day, it was like months ago, we had this potluck at work and everybody was supposed to cook something and bring it in. And you have to fucking eat these people's fucking cat chicken and smile in their face. Like it's so good. Like it's just the best thing. It's like, oh my God, Brittany, this fucking chicken is so good. It's like, no.
Why do you think everything tastes like chicken? Because it is everything.
it's cat chicken. And so, I mean, it's funny to think about, but at the same time, it's not because we're poisoned on every single level. I think it's hilarious that they made that song or whatever about eating the chickens and or eating the cats and eating the dogs.
Oh, damn, I haven't heard it.
You haven't?
No.
I'll send
it. But are we forgetting that they've been doing this for years? Like that is like in China, that is, they eat cats and dogs like as it's a normal thing. And we're only freaking out because we connect with them as pets here. You know, it's normal in other cultures to do this.
Cats. Yes. Felines.
Yes. As gross as it is to us, it's completely normal to other people.
I wouldn't eat it. Listen, if you can eat an animal, have you smelled cat shit? Have you smelled cat piss?
Bro, I've smelled pig pens and I've also smelled bacon.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because pigs are like the most disgusting, filthy animals and stink so fucking bad, but yet they're delicious.
They are delicious. I love bacon, but my point was anything that could smell like that coming out of an animal, I'm not eating that animal. Like literally cat piss will stay in your nostrils for upward of 72 hours, literally. And cat shit is the stinky. Like, all they eat is kibbles and bits. Like, where is that fucking smell coming from? I get it with pigs. God knows what they're eating. But cats, they're supposed to be eating fucking Fancy Feast. And when they get some shit, it smells like putrefied body fluids. And you're going to sashimi that motherfucker and eat it? Like, that's a horrible idea. And they have such bad attitudes, too. You almost feel like if you eat a cat, like, you're going to be a fucking asshole the rest of your life. And just like...
Oh, yeah, because they're like...
counters for no reason.
They're like the one species that is like that demons enter, I believe, you know, like cats are fucking animals. I am so much a dog person. Cat people scare me because I'm like, wow, dude, you like decide to, you want to be with demons that could give a fuck if you're around or not, as long as their dish is full.
Yeah, literally.
Know, like, when I get home, my dog is so happy to see me. My dog is like this big, okay? And when I walk in the door, it fucking jumps 5'9" in the air to be like it face to face with me.
Yeah.
It is so excited, you know? And cats, like, they're just like, oh, that fucking asshole's here again.
Yeah, I know. I watched this thing about a detective that would like, or maybe he was just a police officer. I can't remember now. But he would go into houses where somebody had been dead for a long time and they would have a pet And he said, you know, dogs won't eat their person even after they're dead. They'll kind of just like lay by the bed, or, you know, they'll be in the room somewhere and they won't leave their side even after they're dead. And they just look all pitiful and shit when they come to get the body out of the house. Cats
they're will, mourning.
Yeah, like because dogs are like your besties. And he said literally a cat will decapitate you and eat your fucking neck meat out in 7 seconds after you're dead. They're like, oh, thank God, fucking finally. And they will decapitate the head, eat your lung meat, and fucking piss and shit all over your corpse.
Yeah, dude. Cat people, like, you guys are crazy, especially old cat women. Like, you're going to die in your house alone. That's what you have to look forward to, just so you know.
So, since I got divorced, I guess I should say I adopted this cat. I'm just kidding. I had to have something around that treated me like garbage and didn't care if I was around. So, you know, I traded one for the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It works out perfectly. No, when you were talking about how foul cats are, it reminded me of this buddy that I used to have, and you couldn't go to his house because walking up his driveway, he would feed these feral cats. And like, it was so foul, Julia, that when you left his house, I would be driving home and I'd be like smelling my shirt. I'd be like, what the fuck? It like stuck on me.
I know. And then it's on you. And then you got to either burn your outfit when you get home yes. or you have to immediately put it in the washer. Just like going to like a bar where they let you smoke inside. I used to hate doing that because you get all dressed up, you know, you wash your hair. You put on a nice fresh outfit, then you go to the bar, everybody's smoking. You know, I might actually smoke myself because, you know, when in Rome. But then you get home and you smell like a fucking ashtray. And even the next day, even when you're hungover and you wake up and you like doing laundry or whatever, you're like, God damn, like this shirt smells fucking horrible. Like it's just some things for me. I can't get over the smell. I can't get over the cat smell. And I can't get over the cigarette smell. Like, it bothers me for some reason. Not if you smoke cigarettes, I mean, that's on you. That's your own thing or whatever. I wouldn't bottle it and make a fragrance out of it by
Fuck
any
no.
means. But
when I quit smoking cigarettes, that's like my biggest, happiness. I'm like, it's not that I'm like not gonna get lung cancer or anything like that. Well, because I vape, but I'm like, I don't fucking stink anymore. You know, yeah. Like my roommate, he drinks a lot and smokes a lot of cigarettes. And when he gets too close to me, I'm just like, oh fuck, dude, get back away. Like you smell. Yeah.
And people who smoke menthols, that's like the biggest joke ever because it's like, oh, it's minty. No, it still makes your breath smell like a turd. So don't fucking come at me with the menthol thing. Like it smells just as bad. And it fucking reeks. Like, no. But,
Oh my God, Julia, when I first came back from Tennessee to when I went to California, I went on a date with this woman and it went really well. But we were making out at the end of the night and I almost threw up because she smoked cigarettes. And I kept
you threw up in her mouth.
No, I almost did. I was gagging. I kept gagging. I'd be like, oh my God. And then I had to like walk away and leave the room and be like, oh,
no, you did not.
And then I walked in, you know, and I'm like, all right, maybe I can get through this without her kissing me anymore. Like maybe we can still do the deed. Yeah, like maybe we could still do the deed and I can avoid the mouth. And no, like she fucking went straight to try to kiss me again. And I was like, no, I can't do this, you know? And she like got mad and left or whatever, but like embarrassed. But what, it was
did she stink otherwise than that? I mean, or was it just,
I don't know.
Did she have BO? Did she have a fupa smell? Did she have
she smelled like perfume and cigarettes is what she smelled like. Which
that's
you know
my
what
favorite
I don't
combination.
Care who you are, like if you don't smoke cigarettes yourself, just adding perfume to the smell of cigarettes makes it worse. Stop doing that, women.
That's like Febrezing after you shit. Yeah. It just smells like flowers and shit.
It's flowery it's flowery diarrhea now.
Yeah, it just smells like chrysanthemums and diarrhea. So stop doing that shit.
See what happens when Julia comes on here. I'm thinking we're going to talk about, like, you know, these crazy conspiracies, and we're talking about diarrhea and
we can talk about crazy conspiracies all night. I'm down for it. I have to tell you this story since we're on the topic of smells. Okay. Do you know who Colby is from Conspiracy Playtime?
No.
No. Oh, he likes your show. You should check it out sometime.
I will.
So I went to go visit him, and he lives in Oregon. So I had to fly from Oklahoma City to Oregon or whatever. And on the second flight, I had to like stop in Denver. I didn't see anything crazy, by the way. I wasn't there long enough, I don't think, because, you know, if you look, there are some weird things, I guess, but not in the part of the airport I was in. But so on my second flight to Oregon, it was like a full flight. And I was like, oh, who am I going to get the privilege of sitting next to? You know, all these people looked like they hadn't showered in years. They all had fucking some kind of a pit smell. And I was like feeling like I was so lucky. Like I was texting him because I sat down and there was an empty seat. And then there was like a normal guy on the aisle seat. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm so lucky. There's like an empty seat. I have tons of room. I'm going to spread out. I'm going to put my fucking elbow over here, you know. And then out of nowhere, this 700-pound woman just comes barreling down the aisle. And she's like, oh, that's me. Literally squeezes herself into the middle seat between me and this other guy. And all of her parts were just overflowing into our seats. I mean, and she, you've smelled, you've smelled bad vagina before, right?
What'd you say?
Have you smelled bad vagina before?
Of course.
When I tell you this woman, she had like the fat roll that hangs like past the vagina down like mid thigh, kind of like an apron. Okay.
It's like a jello mold growing in between.
Like, oh my God. And I'm like gagging. She's got a pit smell. Don't get me wrong. But whatever was coming up out of there, you know, she's the kind of person that sat down and she was immediately like, I need a belt extension. Because it's like she's just bursting out of the seat. At one point during the ride, she's all crunching Cheez-Its in my ear and shit, watching The Notebook on her phone or whatever. And I lean over and I'm like sniffing my own pits because I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, is it her or is it me? Or is it just like permeating the air at this point? And I was like texting Colby and I was like, you know, I fucking love you because I swear to God, when I get off this plane, I'm going to throw the fuck up. And then she followed me to the bathroom, like literally not followed me, but we both went to the bathroom after we got off the plane. And I was like, dude, this bathroom will never be the same. Never be the same. I just can't. And like, I don't like to body shame people. Don't get me wrong. But when you have to sit next to somebody like that for like a 3-hour flight, I mean, you just wonder, like, what the fuck is going on with you?
Right. You know, there's some people that I don't want to get into that, but just their life existence is television and junk food. That's it, you know? And so
that's why I say it's so easy to program people nowadays, because like there's all these people on social media who will be like, you can't body shame people. Like fat is beautiful and like all this stuff. And like there's some really severely unhealthy people. And it's just like almost getting a free pass or like a pat on the back or something. Cause it's like, oh, she's so confident in herself, or oh, she's body positive, or all these things. I'm like, no, dude, like that's not body. Being pre-diabetic at 18 years old is not like it, having to take a cholesterol pill in your 20s is not body positive like that. No. But they've like tried to reprogram our mind into thinking like, if you want to be a fat slob or like not put any effort into yourself whatsoever. Like, that should be normal, because who cares, you know?
Well, I don't think that programming is working, because people can walk around and say that fat is beautiful all they want, but watch somebody's facial expression change if you tell them they look like Lizzo.
Yeah. I know, right? I know. But it's like, it's all taboo if you try to say something about it, like, oh, you know, I think it's odd that people are getting on Ozempic all the time too, which I talked about with Janet before. Like, if you can't lose weight, just inject yourself with whatever, Ozempic, this, that, and this. And people don't want to go on diets and stuff. They just want to, you know, Phentermine, this, that, or whatever. And it destroys your liver. And then, you know, that just puts more money back, you know, another cog in the machine for the big pharma companies, because they fuck up one part of your body so they can sell you a pill to fix the other part.
And aren't you stuck on Ozempic once you start taking it too?
I mean, yeah, because it'll just, like, once you stop, all of that shit just comes back to haunt you like the fucking ghost of Christmas past. But I mean, that's people's own cross to bear when it comes to stuff like that. Cause, like, by no means am I perfect. I vape and I drink, and fucking, I can't stop vaping if somebody paid me. Like, that, it's like just a part of my personality at this point, you know? But I have no room to talk cause I have my vices, but still, I feel like everything in this society is, like, by design in some way. Even the accessibility of getting prescribed these medications, because now you don't even have to go to the doctor anymore. I get emails all the time from this place that I go to get, like, skin facials and shit. Oh, come in, $250. We'll inject you with Ozempic. We'll give you Phentermine. We'll do XYZ. I don't even think they're medical professionals.
Right. They're trained how to administer these things, and that's about it, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, how easy it is.
Don't you work at one of these places?
Yes. I work at a cosmetic surgery center. And granted, I do have a doctor that I work for, but a lot of these places, there isn't a doctor in the building. There is no medical the girl that checks you in looks like she just got off her second shift at Wendy's, and she will then inject you with an unknown substance.
Right. And we
blindly all you got to do is sign a waiver form.
Mm-hmm. And we blindly put our trust in these things, thinking that we're getting safe and accurate thing. You know, you're talking about earlier how we get poisoned from every direction. And at my 9-to-5 job, I won't say what company I work for, but we make juice for a lot of predominant companies. Like, you go to the grocery store or a certain places, you're getting stuff that we make. And I'm looking at some of the warning labels, like some of these ingredients that we're putting into these juices says flammable. There's flammable stickers on most of these ingredients that we put in these juices.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm dead serious. And one day we're making this new drink for, I can't say their name, that it's a big, big chain company, and you've all been there, and they had a blue summer drink going on. And in this blue summer drink, there is an ingredient, and my supervisor said, hey, make sure you don't get that shit on you. It's not good for you. And I was like, well, then why are we putting in it into things that people ingest? And he's all, that's above my pay grade.
Wow.
Hey there, pet parents. If you're like me, your furry family members mean the world to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce to you PurePetWellness.com, your trusted source for all things CBD for pets. What sets PurePetWellness.com apart? Well, for starters, they're an American-owned family business with genuine love for animals. They understand the unique bond you share with your pets, and they've dedicated to helping your furry companions live their best lives. And I'm pretty sure that the owner's a flat earther. You can't go wrong with that. That's pretty dope, right? So if you're looking for natural solutions, Pure Pet Wellness is where your journey stops, because they have a premium CBD product specially crafted for your pets. Calming tensioners to soothing balms, they've got you covered. And conspiracy junkies get 20% off at checkout. Just hit rabbit at checkout and watch the prices. Drop.
That's fucking wild.
Right? And so
what is it? Like, if it gets on you, is it like fucking Ripley from Aliens, and it just fucking, like, acid spit, and it just eats through your skin, or what?
Well, we do deal with that shit. I got burned on my arm a couple months ago from acid, but we use the acid to clean out the big batching tanks that we make the juice in. So we put caustic in it, then we rinse it, then we put this pink acid in it, and it like burns everything off of it. And then we rinse all that off, and then we start your juice in there, new juice. And but that's like actually the cleanest thing that we do, because like all these, I'm not saying that we're not cleanly, but I'm just saying these ingredients that we're putting into these things, like you have to wear respirators and shit when you're doing this, because it's not good for you. That's why, like, that's why all I drink now is spring water, coffee that I made myself from spring water, and kombucha.
Kombucha.
Or tea, yeah. Like, I don't drink soda anymore. Anything that I buy, I won't drink anything that's already pre-like contained unless it's bottled spring water, because I just don't trust
it. I have an addiction to spring water myself, actually. There's this spring water that I think it's Texan, but we get it in Oklahoma. It's called Ozarka. And for some reason, I feel like I feel better about myself if it says spring water on it. So I drink a ton of it, but I still drink alcohol. So, you know, it's like, do those things balance themselves out? Like, the world will never know. It's like, I'll drink 17 fucking straight gallons of Ozarka and then chase it with, like, what am I drinking right now? Rainbow sherbet. Fucking, oh, look, it's from Oklahoma. Isn't that cute?
It's an IPA.
Oh,
nice. That was my favorite. I've been clean, not clean, but I've been sober for a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
I went 2 weeks and then I was like, oh, I can drink one night. It's my Friday. And I had Brandon Thomas on from Expanding Reality, and I bought 2 IPA tall cans. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the show, I finished the second one. And from the beginning, I'm 100% sober. And at the end, I'm slurring my shit and making a complete ass out of myself. So I was like, all right, that's it. That's the last straw. So I haven't drank since that show.
Well, that's good then. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Don't drink.
I love to drink, but I just can't do it. I'm one of those people. Like, I can function. I go to work, everything. But I just make a fucking complete ass out of myself. And there are days where, like, I won't function. I'll wake up one morning and I'll be like, fuck the world and everything in it. I'm not leaving this room for 3 or 4 days.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I do that. I'm surprised I still have a job, honestly.
Like, you should get yourself on FMLA or something for that shit. Are you needing a mental health day?
You know what's funny is I told them about it and they're looking into getting me on that shit.
FMLA?
Yeah. They're like, when you have, we'll call them flare ups.
Yep. Chronic health conditions. That qualifies. All my HR people out there, that qualifies.
I'm like, hey, maybe all these fucking people with special needs or don't actually have special needs, but all these, like, I need my safe space people helps me out here a little bit in this instance.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're going to also put you in Special Olympics too, alongside of your FMLA. So just be prepared for
that. That's all right. I will kick ass. It'll be like that Johnny Knoxville fucking movie where I'm just fucking everybody up.
What is that movie called? Oh my God, I haven't seen that in forever. You're talking about the one with Johnny
Knoxville.
What's his last name? Yeah, Knoxville.
Yes, I don't remember what it's called either, but that was a hilarious movie.
That's going to be you.
You cannot get away with making that movie nowadays. There's no fucking
because it's like the fat shaming thing. Like I said, you can't say anything anymore. People just seek out reasons to become offended by you.
Oh, check this out. I don't give 2 fucks because you cannot change the rules halfway through the fucking game. All right. I've been playing this game for 43 years, 44 now. So I will say retarded, mm-hmm. faggot. Anything that is offensive, I don't give 2 shits. You know what? I call my friend a faggot all the time. I don't mean he's a faggot, meaning he takes shots in the mouth or backloads, you know, back shots. I call him a faggot because he's dumb. I call him a retard because he did something that was, you know,
retarded.
Retarded. Yes. my football coach called us retards. You know?
Yeah, no, I grew up in the that's okay to say era. So I'm sticking with it.
Yes. If your little feelings are hurt, sorry.
Yeah, what it
is. I grew up in an era where we actually fought with our fists, not behind a keyboard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Colby says he runs a free speech platform. I got mad at him because he said something. I don't remember what it was. And he was like, well, I run a free speech platform. And I was like, you're right. I should too. Because like you automatically want to like censor yourself on certain shit. And then I have to catch myself because I'm like, no, fuck that. Like, what? Why do I'm almost like co-signing people's behavior on that shit.
Like, oh, I am unapologetically me no matter what. So, and I think that's why White Rabbit was so successful right out of the gate, was because I was unapologetically myself and I said shit people were scared to say. You know, mm-hmm. It's like when Eminem came out, people were like, holy shit, the shock factor of things that he was saying. And now it's like you can't shock anybody because it's... Mm-hmm. And now I feel like with podcasters, enough of us are out there that are speaking our mind and unapologetically ourselves that, yeah, it's, there is no more shock value. It's like, hey, we're making this normal again to speak.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's why I said, like, I had to catch myself for a minute there because I was like, he's totally right. Like, again, being in shitty relationships and being programmed by social media, you're like, oh, I shouldn't say that. Oh, no, I'm going to offend someone. And then, I pretty much had to convince myself within these last couple months that words are words and they don't have any power unless, like, you give them some type of power over you. So, yeah, no, I 100% agree, which... Some people might even say the stuff that I've been covering in my new series is like offensive. And some of the like topics are, you know, pretty fucking gross and hard to listen to. But
I'm just going to keep it real. It's not like you're giving, well, you are giving your opinion on things that you think is gross. You're like, this is fucked up. But you're speaking facts. You're like, this happened. You're showing receipts. It's not like you're out there just spewing rhetoric. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and like I was saying earlier, it's like people are hungry for the truth. So there are going to be little vaginas that get their panties in a bunch because they've been sheltered their entire fucking lives. But the real ones are hungry for what you're putting out. So don't stop what you're doing, Julia. You're on fucking fire.
Thank you. Is there anything in particular about either one of those series that stuck out to you, like that you felt like was significant?
Yes, because I felt like an idiot when we were doing the Finder show with Thomas the other day, and you were talking about, was it Larry King?
That he was part of the Franklin scandal.
Yes, but it wasn't the Larry King that was on TV, right? It was some guy that happened to have the same name. And so the entire time you're talking and you're saying Larry King in your show, and I'm like, man, dude, this guy had everybody fooled. He's on like television, like fucking like and then
it's
Thomas
a black guy.
Yeah, and then Thomas brings him up and describes him, and I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, this dude, he was a part of the Republican Party, and he is a black guy with a big-ass fro, and his name was Lawrence King, went by Larry King, but I definitely can see how you would have like mixed those two up, because when I first started researching about it and the name came up, I was like, no fucking way. And then I kind of looked more into it and I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But yeah, the Franklin case is one of the weirdest ones of all time, especially because it has ties to Johnny Gosch, that missing kid from the 80s that nobody could understand like where he went or what happened to him. And I talked about it when I was on the Cult of Conspiracy doing the JonBenet episode, because all these missing kids are like dead kids, and for some reason it's always got political ties and all this weird stuff under the surface. Johnny Gosch is definitely not a one-off case. JonBenet, even though it's extremely tragic, is definitely not a one-off case. Like, they're doing this kind of shit to kids all the time. And someone that, like, Colby and I have talked about is Hunter S. Thompson, because both of us had, like, kind of a crush on that guy for the longest until we started realizing that he definitely was a part of this shit. And that was a hard one for me because, yeah, I always had really liked him.
He was Johnny Depp's mentor.
Yeah. And I always really liked him. And then I start doing all this research into the JonBenet case, and he pops his ugly head up as being connected to Bohemian Grove and all these snuff films and all these, like, weird pedo connections, and he was most likely suicided because he started speaking up about some shit.
Oh, did he? And, I didn't know
that. Yeah. So, I mean, like, there's all this weird, it's like you never meet your heroes, as they say, because you start figuring shit out that you don't want to know about. And it's, as a conspiracy theorist, like you were saying with Tom Hanks, the people that you idolize the most turn out to be the slimiest fuckballs of them all.
Yes. I used to idolize Eminem, but I think that they killed him off before he turned into a slime ball. I think they killed him off because of the reason I idolized him so much, because he was unapolegetically himself in a time mm-hmm. when we desperately needed that. You brought up JonBenet a couple times, and I know that you were very passionate about your research in that. I have to ask you, I might've asked you this already, but have you ever heard Human Vibrations' whole take on the JonBenet thing?
Yeah. That she doesn't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, I don't want to throw that out, like, maybe in this specific case, that is not the instance, but I think that she has a good case for the fact that maybe some of these killings or serial killers are completely fabricated and just broadcasted on the news to spread fear and aren't really taking place. Would you?
I agree with her in a way. I just don't agree with her. And like I said, I could be wrong. Okay. I'm not the end all be all on every single conspiracy theory topic, but this is my point of view. I think that serial killers, and I'm going to kind of get more into this in the new series called Program to Kill. I think that they are fake, but not in the way that you would perceive something being fake as if, like, they don't exist or it never happened. I don't think that they are random
organic.
Like, yeah, I don't think that they were just, you know, these random acts of violence against human beings. And these were lone nut psychopaths that just started fucking butchering people up and down the fucking, like, Ted Bundy and Jeff Dahmer and John Gacy and all these people, Richard Ramirez. I don't think that they were just doing it randomly because they had a jolly for fucking killing people.
I think
that it's fake in the way they've created the serial killer to terrify us.
100%. Yeah. So, and this all goes back to the CIA. Yeah.
Yes.
And they've been procreating. I can't say that word. They've been grooming these people into doing these things. And, like, mm-hmm. What is that movie Zoolander? It's funny mm-hmm. because you mm-hmm. bring up these things as being real, and then they put out movies like Zoolander so that people will laugh at you. And you know, they put out these things as it's so ridiculous that it couldn't actually happen in real life. But it is exactly what the fuck is happening. I mean, like, keywords or songs to trigger something, and then people completely forget about what they did, have no mm-hmm. idea, you know, like this. They say that there was conspiracy theorists that used to say that Lee Harvey Oswald was a victim of that. And I don't buy that because I don't think that he's the one that killed.
I don't either.
But you know, that's something that they can do. I mean, it is speculation for us just because, like, we don't know for sure. Just like I don't know for sure that the fucking earth is flat, but I would die on that hill.
Yeah, I think it's flat too. I'm a biblical flat earther. I think that, you know, we've obviously talked about it before and we agree, but
you wouldn't be otherwise.
Yeah, no, I think certain things have been designed to terrify us. I think the serial killer, quote unquote, is one of those things that has been designed to terrify us. I think that they put things like JonBenet Ramsey in the news in the way that they chose to do it to terrify us. But the reason they did that is because they can't tell you what really happened. It's not that this senseless random act of violence against this little girl and everybody should be terrified and lock your babies up because there's a mad man on the loose and they're going to come and get your children. I don't think that's the case. I think that they had to cover up what they really did to her, and they have to cover up a lot of things that happen to little kids, like not just JonBenet, but everyone's got this terror that something's going to happen to their kids, or they're going to be playing at the park and their kid's just going to go missing and it's going to be some weird guy that drives an ice cream truck. Hello? No, it's not. It's probably someone who works for the fucking CIA that's abducting these kids out of parks and shit. It's not just a random act of violence that somebody broke in and killed JonBenet. Her parents were involved in all this shit. You know, it's like the serial killers, the child abductors. Don't get me wrong. There's some low-life pedophiles out there that are homegrown. Like, that shit is real. But, like, as far as mass murder, Jim Jones drinking the Kool-Aid cult-style murder, suicides, and kids missing and all that, I don't think that it's accidents. I don't think that it's random. I think that it's all controlled. I think that it comes from one source, and they just present it to us in a way that is absolutely terrifying. So we have this constant cloud hanging over our head, like we're going to get murdered or our kids are going to get abducted. And that's the single white woman's worst nightmare. But they also, you know, as a single white woman, love watching true crime shows.
So, I was just going to ask you.
It's like some kind of mental illness. Like, we're so scared of it, but also tell me more, please.
That is so hilarious because
I was watching it.
I was going to ask you, what is it with women that seems so obsessed with these true crime shows and serial killers and shit? Like, why?
I told Ryan Dean once because he asked me the same thing because I was like, oh, I love true crime and blah, blah, blah. He was like, what is it with white women in their true crime shows? And I said, I think it's because we're very emotional creatures. And when we watch stuff like that, it evokes this crazy emotion within us. And we get kind of like a little high from it. We're like, oh my God. And so I think maybe it's something to do with that. You know, everything. I read a study one time and like 90% of the stuff that's marketed in the US is to single out white women. Like, they're marketing towards white women on all this shit. Like, when you're on Facebook or Instagram and all these little ad things pop up, they've got me in mind when they created that ad. Like, I'm like, ooh, do I need this? Like, I'm the worst clickbait fucking shopper of all time.
Oh man, I'm the worst when I'm laying in bed because I will smoke weed before I lay down for bed, and for some reason I don't know why I do this, but I will go on Amazon and impulse buy the shit out of things. And then like the next day I'll get home from work and I'll be like, oh fuck, I actually ordered that.
Like, yeah. The most random bizarre shit of all time.
Yes. Like I need this, you know, like one of the most weird shit was like, I ordered a locker organizer for my locker at work, and I don't even keep shit in my locker at work.
That's how they get you. Jeff Bezos just went on vacation with your locker organizer money.
Yeah,
that's how they really fucking get you.
Fucker.
I know. Me too, though. Like, I will buy stuff, and then when it comes in, I'm like, I could have lived without this. Like, I don't even know why the fuck I just bought this. But now there's all these other apps that you can waste your money on, like fucking Temu and all this bullshit. I literally clicked on it one day. I was like, oh my God, I love that shirt. And it's only 17 cents. That's how they get you. Because well, all the shit on Temu is like a dollar.
I heard Temu is just Wish rebranded.
It is.
It's so I refused to even download the app. I was like, fuck that. I remember ordering from Wish, waiting 3 months, forgot that I even ordered shit. And then it would show up and it was like, it would fall apart as I'm putting it on.
It's like, oh my gosh, do I need a waterproof phone case by the time it gets here? Who knows? Just put it in your cart. Fucking $2 later, I've got a fucking, waterproof phone case that literally didn't hold any water out, and it's just a bunch of useless garbage. I don't even, but that's like besides the point. Most things are targeted towards white women, including true crime stuff and including serial killer documentaries. And like, yes, I am a victim of it because I will sit and watch all these documentaries on repeat. There's this one on Amazon Prime about Ted Bundy, but it's told from the perspective of that girlfriend that he was dating while he was murdering all those bitches. Her name is Elizabeth Klepfer, and she's a fucking head case. Like, for her to sit there and say she saw no red flags, none, zero, murdering bitches up and down the coast, and she saw no red flags, like, that is just, it's too much, unless it's like I said, and maybe Ted Bundy was the fall guy and he didn't really kill anyone,
right? Or he was just MK Ultra to the point where he didn't even remember what he was doing. So
he could live a whole entire other life with her because he didn't remember what he was doing.
Yeah, and he could compartmentalize things possibly as well. So when he was a completely different person in both situations, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's really got me to start thinking, though, because she's like, well, maybe this one time I may have noticed something. And then it wasn't until like the end of the documentary when he like admitted to her from his own mouth that he had like killed all these girls. And she was like, oh my God, I was like devastated. I couldn't believe that he had done this. And I'm like, you didn't get a single yeast infection? Like, he was necrophiling these bodies. He said he was. He would go back weeks after he murdered them and still have sex with the corpses. And then he would go home to Elizabeth and they were getting freaky. And like, not one UTI, not one yeast infection, not one hint of an iota of anything that there might be something going on with him. Like, it's just really hard for me to believe that.
Yeah, you would think that there would be like some nasty bacteria.
But his nuts didn't smell like fish sticks, like nothing. There was zero, like he was literally having sex with dead bodies, literally clubbing bitches over the head every other Tuesday evening. And there was no red flags. That is just really, really hard for me to believe.
Well, that's just because you never looked at the fact that she's the real killer.
Spoken from a true conspiracy theorist, because that's some shit I'd actually entertain. It was fucking Elizabeth. She was doing it.
Right. So I know that Halloween is one of your, if not the favorite holiday you have. And I was curious, is there going to be any breakdown shakedowns on any particular scary movies that we could look forward to this upcoming October?
Yes, and you know how I always name my October specials. The first one was the Spooktacular. Last year was the Ghost Jamboree. This year, I'm not ready to reveal it yet, but I got a good name for it, and it's going to be great. I've actually set up a few episodes with a couple people for October. People are really busy right now. I don't know what's going on, but it's been harder and harder for me to find people who are available to sit down. You know, Drew's always great from You're Missing the Point. He's always so great at breaking down movies, and I love working with him. Davey's really good too, like with horror movies and stuff, because we both have like such a love of horror. I swear to God.
You know what's funny? It is Thomas had a background that kept doing that yesterday. It's funny.
Really? Yes. It just, it bugs the shit out of me, but there's nothing I can do about it. But yeah, I'm working on a few ideas. I'm really excited. I'm going to actually try to put some Halloween stuff out on the Cult of Conspiracy as well. Because basically we're like collaborating all the time now. I have a once a week show on the Cult of Conspiracy, and I'm still keeping up with my own show. So I'm pretty much pulling double duty these last few months, trying to like do my own show and their show. So
I know exactly how that feels.
Yeah, it feels kind of crazy sometimes, because I'm like, did I upload this on the right day? Is that, am I, like, I get a little bit flustered with it, but I'm super excited. I'm, you know, looking forward to October as I always do. It's my favorite month of the year, my favorite fucking season, my favorite holiday. It's going to be off the chain this year. I have a few ideas. I hope you enjoy it.
Nice. I'm going to do my own little movie breakdown this year. I haven't decided what movie I want to break down yet, but I'm gonna rewatch Monster Squad and see if there's enough in that movie that I can pull for
a Monster Squad.
Yes, that was one of my favorites. Yes, it was one of my favorites. Wolfman's got nards.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No. Do that because that would be interesting for me to listen to.
Awesome. I just don't know if there's enough in that movie to do an episode on. So I'm going to have to rewatch it here with a conspiratorial set of eyes rather than my childhood eyes. It's been so many years.
If you rewatch it and you feel like it's episode worthy, you could just hit me up. I'll rewatch it again too. And then maybe we can, you know how I always do, like, I don't share any of my information with you. You don't share any with me. And then we see if we found the same stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you feel like it's dense enough that we could cover a whole episode on it, that would be cool, because I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, you did The Burbs last year, and I was like, oh, that movie, and I went back and watched it. Oh my God, there was so much in that movie that even you didn't cover. I'm like, dude, that movie was insane with so much shit in it. Like,
insane. Yes. Insane. And again, that's why I brought it when you said Tom Hanks at the beginning of the episode, and I was like, The Burbs,
yeah,
money pit, because I idolize the dog shit out of those movies. My sister's getting an in-ground pool put in the backyard, and I went out there the other day, and I, like, the backyard is just toe up from the flow up. It's in ruin. And money I was pit. Like, I said, how long did they say this was supposed to take? And she was like, they said 2 weeks. And I was like, two weeks. Like, it's just, and here it is a month later, bitch ain't even close to being done. And I was like, you got money pit. And so, yeah, I find a reason to quote that movie like 7 times a day.
That is awesome. Yeah, you and I love all the same movies, like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. My favorite December movie. Yes, that is why you are my favorite conspiracy friend in this whole thing. And you know what, Julia? Like, I didn't have a topic in mind. You said you might jump into whatever, but as always, we just kind of enjoyed the shit out of talking to each other. And that was so awesome. It's great to see you. And you're so full of just, your aura is different from the last time I talked to you. You are smiling. You look very happy. Yes, thank this you. Is awesome. This is a whole new Julia. Congratulations on the series you're doing on Cult of Conspiracy, because I'm telling you right now, when I'm at work, there's only one day at work I'm allowed to have my headphones in, and that's because there is no supervisors or bosses there, and I'm just kind of there by myself. So mm-hmm. I listen, and your show is my first one that I listen to in the morning that you do on the Cult of Conspiracy. And it's fucking awesome. I'm also excited. You know, I'll go ahead and give Cult of Conspiracy a plug right here, because those are my boys. I love them. And they also got Josh Monday coming on now, and he's doing biblical breakdowns, and he just did his first one. And you guys should go check that out. It was all the biblical breakdown of flat earth, and he crushed it as he always does. So go check that out and look forward to those happening once a week, I believe, as well.
Yep, he's taking over the Sunday slot. I'm doing the Saturday slot because, you know, it's Josh. He's gotta have Sunday. I'm on Saturday. I'm for the sinners.
Yeah.
Just save me for the sinners. I'll take Saturday.
I forget what movie it was, but he was like, I thought you were a God-fearing believer. And he was like, it's Saturday. He was like, I'll save my shit for Sunday. Oh, it was 8 Mile. 8 Mile.
That's me.
So I'll make good with the Lord on Sunday.
they had put some of my shows out on a Sunday, I think, maybe in the beginning. And they were like, well, Josh is going to take over Sunday. And I was like, that's probably for the best, since I dropped the F word every other word.
Right. And we're talking about like the most horrific thing that humans can do to another human.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that Saturday seems like it probably fit better.
Yes. You know, so let Julia show you the evil of this world. And then on Sunday, Josh Monday will cleanse you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat.
So what's happening with the Cosmic Peach, man? I don't want to give all the glory over there to our boys at the cult.
So I have been putting a lot on Patreon recently, and I am giving like some little life updates and stuff. And I mentioned it earlier, but Colby from Conspiracy Playtime, he actually has two shows. One show is called Disinfobation, and it's super fucking hilarious. And I'm kind of doing like what the cult has done with me on my show with Disinfobation. So if you are subscribed to my Patreon, you get all of my shows and all of the Cult of Conspiracy exclusive shows. And you'll also get like the Cosmic Disinfobation show, which I'm not good with politics. And that show is more like political, and it's super, super, super funny. So I'm working on a few projects. I really like the idea of not sponsoring, but like having someone else's show on your show that people might not go out of their way to listen to usually. I think that's such a fucking brilliant idea, because I can go on the Cult of Conspiracy. It won't mean you'll go and still follow my show, you know, or, you know, Josh can go on there, but it doesn't mean you're going to go out of your way to find his show. But now it's like a weekly dose of different shows on one show. So I kind of like that, and I wanted to do that on mine as well. So if you are checked into Room 237, my Patreon, you'll get, like I said, the cult show, my regular Cosmic Pete show, and then Disinfobation as well. So it's really good. I have a lot of like little projects and stuff that I'm working on, and I'm really excited.
Well, I'm really excited too, Julia, because everything that you've put out ever since I started following you is been fire. And I was just telling one of my buddies this the other day. It was like, I don't listen to all my friends' podcasts. Like, there's only a handful, if that. And you're one of them that I do religiously. So, yes. That means Thank a lot. You. That means I'm hard to impress, and you impress the shit out of me. So
that's great. Thank you. Sometimes I am my own worst critic, you know. I'll bust my balls on stuff. I'll be like, that wasn't a good episode, or like, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was tired, and I feel like I can hear it in my voice or whatever. But as long as people keep receiving it and people keep you know, staying interested, that's all I'm going for, you know.
Love it. So if you guys want to follow what Julia does over there at the Cosmic Peach, if you're not already, because like I said, she's kind of like a celebrity now when it comes to this whole conspiracy circle, go ahead and scroll down right now, and right above all of those cool places that you can go to and get a discount at, you will see links for everything Julia does. Everything Julia does, you read that right now. Go ahead and click on that. Give her a follow on everything that she does. Follow her on her Patreon, because the things that we do, it's time consuming, and it is not free. It costs us a lot of money. So, you know, showing a little bit of support, it makes us feel good and helps us continue doing what we're doing. And that is bringing the truth to you in an entertaining and fun way. Julia, is there anything that you would like to tell the conspiracy junkies before we call an end to the show?
I love each and every one of you.
Oh, that is beautiful. I feel like we should have some like music going away of you dusting off into the wind. But instead, I know I said it was the last time, but next time I promise, guys, we are going to have a whole new outro and we're going to give my boy Hi-Rez one last shine. So we are retiring this outro with Julia right here, right now. Conspiracy junkies, keep digging down those rabbit holes.
I would never bend my knee to Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself if they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in his image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans. Nah, or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids. They ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they preaching, I swear that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me, but I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business are forced closed. Allah Jehovah Hashem, Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do, but worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.